Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. Calling all radio amateurs. This is N7IVV, November 7, India. Victor, Victor. Activating the Fakir Amateur Radio Association General Service Band. This net is held every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. local time on this 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater located in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fakir Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for general discussion and Q&A regarding topics such as equipment hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to the radio art. I don't have a specific topic tonight, so if anyone listening has a question or discussion item.
This is Kilo November 4, Foxtrot Tango Tango, and my name's Rick, and I'm up in Marshall, Virginia, and I have a hopefully a quick question for the net. I was in the process of building a 2-meter Yagi antenna. My question is, what is the benefit of having all the elements tied to a boom that's electrically all of one, as opposed to all of your elements being electrically isolated? Anyway, back to net control. This is KN4FTT.
Okay, KN4FTT, thanks for the question. Question is basically, what are the pros and cons of using an insulated versus non-insulated boom? That's pretty much the crux of it, because you can use a metallic boom and still have your elements isolated from it electrically, or you can use an insulated boom to be. Of course, there is also a testing session. Forgive me, I don't remember where it is, down Stafford Way on Saturday morning. But we're also doing an exam session there at our field day there in Crockett Park on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. So if anybody's looking to upgrade their license or get a new license for the first time, we'll be there and can take care of that for you. Let's see. Skip from standby. Let's see. Looks like this week. It's kind of short notice, but Woodbridge Wireless is sponsoring an amateur radio general class license question review and an exam session, looks like. Sit in and review the questions and get ready to take your exam next weekend. Anybody else have any other announcements? This is N7IVB.
N7IVV, this is K4SKP.
Okay, Skip, you can fill in the blanks there. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the testing session on Saturday, June 26th, is Curtis Memorial Park in Fredericksburg, Virginia, at noon. So that's it. If you're interested in testing, contact Katie Gillum at k4ter@arrl.net. And then we've got the testing at 9 a.m. on the 27th at Crockett Park. So those are the two testing sessions, except for the one at Woodbridge. And I don't have the brochure up in front of me, Brad, but, yeah, the testing is a live session in Woodbridge. Back to that, K4SKP.
Okay, great. Thanks, Skip. Yeah, that's kind of what I gleaned from it, was that it was live on Saturday. All right, so lots of opportunities to either get your license or upgrade your license. Okay, I guess with that, we'll go ahead and take check-ins, and then we can discuss Yagis and the construction of said items. So, anybody wants to check in tonight, give me a call. I'll also kind of, slow down so that if we have any Echolink check-ins, I'll be able to catch those. So, anyway, call now at 7IVB.
W4EO Mobile, internet, please.
X4KU.
Kilowatt 3, Foxtrot Romeo. Kilo Mike 4, Oscar Zulu Hotel.
KS4STT.
KN4SPL.
KS1PPY.
KO4MBN, Mark and Bristow, no comment, no traffic.
Okay, let's hold there. You said it was Mark and Bristow. Give me your call again.
Kilo Oscar 4. Mike Bravo November.
Okay, Mark, I just got tied up there on some other stuff and I started losing track. K1HTV, W4AO, Jason, in and out. Thanks for checking.
This is November 1, Bravo Echo Delta, affordable, in and out.
Okay, N1BED, Mark, gotcha. The call that I couldn't quite get, I thought it was KN4SPT, but that's not correct. Do you want to correct that, or are you still there? Go ahead.
K4SKP, in and out.
Okay, gotcha, Skip. Thank you. All right, well, let's go ahead and start out with, go down through the list. As soon as I figure out what the heck I'm doing here. All right, K1HTV, go ahead and share what you've been up to this week since the VHF contest, and give us your thoughts on Yagi's N7IVB.
N7IVB and the net from K1HTV. Thanks for doing the net, and hello to everybody out there. Yeah, the contest is over. And I was exhausted from the contest. A lot of operating. Ended up making 359 contacts. Of those, all but maybe 25 were on FT8 or FT4. 265 on FT8, 59 on FT4. All on 6 meters. 2 meter preamp went belly up, so I spent most of the time on 6 meters. I did make a number of FM contacts for the guys who wanted contacts on 2 meters, 222, 223.5, and the 470 centimeter band. But got some good propagation, ended up working 23 countries, the furthest being Greece, quite a few other Europeans, Canary Islands of Africa, quite a few Caribbeans, Mexico, Venezuela to the south. Not too much in the way of double skip to the west. Didn't have any double hop at all to the west coast during the contest. As far as the Yagi goes, if you check the G0KSC website, G0KSC, he's the designer of the loop fed array, LFA, Yagi's. And basically he says that when using a non-conductive boom, or simply isolating the elements from a conductive boom, the Yagi becomes much quieter as far as the signal-to-noise floor goes. So there's some advantages there. But when you mount the same element that you had an insulated boom on a metal boom, it will change the characteristics. You really should run the numbers through a neck or one of the modeling programs. You'll see that putting the metal against the boom will affect its electrical length, and therefore its performance. So you can compensate for that by changing the lengths, but you need to run it through a neck or one of those other programs just to let you know what's the best length to use for a metal boom or an insulated boom. Other than that, that's about it from here. Back to net control. Oh, by the way, Brad, I sent you a note regarding the 13 colonies. The folks who run the 13 colonies event from July 1st to 7th are looking for at least one satellite operator in each of the 13 states. And I thought, since you're a satellite operator, quite active, you might be interested in becoming K2 Bravo as a satellite op on as many days or hours as you want during the 7-day period. So you should have an email with a comment, with a letter from the leader of the pack. So if you want to become K2 Bravo, I just send a note to K2WPM, and he'll give you the information you need, including the Excel spreadsheet where you can plug in your call sign and at the appropriate hours that you want to work when the satellite's over. Back to you, Brad. This is K1HTV.
Okay, Rich, thank you. Yeah, I did see that email and I just hadn't gotten time yet this evening to respond to it. Sounds interesting. I'll have to
might have to buttonhole a few other folks that I know that are literally, like, right close by. There's one fella just down between here and Fredericksburg that I work on the satellite periodically. I should go meet him is what I should do. Anyway, yeah, I'll take a look at that. That sounds like fun. For those of you that aren't aware, and we'll get Rich to talk about it more in the next week or so, the 13 Colonies event for you new hams, it's another one of those special event type of stations, except that there's 13. There's actually more than that, but anyway, you're really only looking at 13, and it's just it's actually 15, come think of it. Celebrating the original 13 colonies and the revolution, but there's a reason there's 15 is that there's one in England, and there's another one, what is it, it's up in Philly, I think. Anyway, more details we can come out with those later, but sideband, FT8, you know, lots of things are available. It runs from July 1st through 7th, so kind of a fun thing. And yeah, unfortunately, you pretty much have to do it all on HF, but there are some VHF, like 6 meters and up, that you can make, so something to play with. All right, W4EO in and out, KX4KU, Kevin, your turn, go ahead.
That's an IBV, KX4KU in the net. Good evening, Brad, thank you for doing the net tonight. So that was a rather good question we had from the net, and I was kind of interested in the answer because I've seen them both ways. That was, filled in a little gap in my brain. I don't have much to report to the group. I've been messing around with...
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate that. K3FR, Ron, what you been up to? Go ahead.
Oh, that's how I do the K3FR. About the same thing as Rich, so I did not have a, preamp fail on me. That's understandable here. I too participated in the contest. Put in about 19 hours from the compromised station to the indoor antennas here. Ended up with 215 contacts and 92 grids. 19780s claimed.
Okay, Ron. Well, thanks. And, good luck on that.
Sorry, I didn't catch. Can you repeat the question regarding ARRL? I wasn't quite paying attention here.
He's wondering if ARRL does log checking when you submit your log, for example, for the BHF contest.
I believe they do. Say you made a contact with a station, you're not in his log. I'm not sure if they ding you for BHF contest, but I know in the DX contest, they subtract the multiple points for contacts that were not made. So if you work a station twice, do not delete the duplicates, because you may not have made it into the first log. Your first contact may not have been the other guy's log, but the second one is. If you delete the second one, you could cause a problem with his not being you're not being in his log. So. Anyway, don't delete contacts that are duplicates. But anyway, that's all I have to say. This is K1HTV.
Okay, thanks, Rich. All right, let's see. KM4FTT, Richard, does the answers we've gotten so far on your Yagi question make sense to you? Go ahead.
Yeah, roger that. KM4FTT. Yeah, you gave me some food for thought, for sure. I built my... I built a six element, I think it was about 70 inches long, is that right? Yeah, anyway, made it out of wood boom, and then I used 12 gauge copper wire. It's up in the attic, it's not outside, and I'm not moving it around much. And, you know, it seems to work, but I got to thinking if I was going to take this out in the field and move it around, the soft copper, of course, they're easy to bend. I'd probably want to make it out of something else, like aluminum. So then the question came up as to, because I saw various plans.
Okay, well, good deal. Yeah, my gut feeling is that, by and large, you're not going to see a huge difference in performance unless you're really into measuring performance, if you know what I mean. Most of us operators would probably not see a huge difference between insulated boom, non-insulated boom. But yet, if you know, we're all supposed to be tinkerers a little bit. So like Rich said, if you can throw it into or get somebody that's a buddy of yours can throw it into one of these antenna and analyzing programs, if you want to really design your own, that's a good way to go. But frankly, if you're following somebody else's plans, that's the easiest way to go. Just do what they did, and you're probably going to have good luck. Hey, M4OZHQ. Oh, by the way, this is N7IVV with the FARA General Information, General Service Net on the W4VA repeater. M4OZH, go ahead, Gil.
N7IVV, this is KM4OZH. Good evening, Brad, and everybody on the net. Let's see. My limited knowledge on Yagis. I have two Cushcraft Yagis, and one of the elements are insulated, and one they're not. And I think it just has to do with ease of construction. When there is a tuning difference when the elements are on top of the, when it's a metallic boom and the elements are on, mounted on top of the boom versus, or on the bottom, versus going through the center. And I think a lot of it has to do with just with manufacturing ease. If you can take and just drill a hole through a tube and put your element through there. But the trouble is, over time, that may rattle around and get loose in there, and then that'll create static. So I think they figured that out, and that's why they can change to putting a rubber bushing or a plastic bushing in the boom, so to make it insulated, and then there's not the little electrical disturbance created from elements rattling around in the boom, especially in the wind. And but I think all that changes the tune. Any time you deviate from elements above or below the boom to the center of the boom, that changes the parameters of the antenna. So you just got to pick a design that you're going to go with and make that one work. And that's my little bit of knowledge there on that. Yeah, and I did work the VHF contest this weekend, and I forgot once again. I submitted my score to 3830 scores and forgot completely about that. N1MN does not tabulate my activated my activated grids. So my score is low in 70 something. And so when I submitted it to ARRL, they recalculated and gave me a score, a claimed score of 9,300. So they bumped my score up considerably. So I was pleased with that, and I saw why, and I realized that. But I did work. I did make 156 QSOs and with 52 grid squares and activated 6. I didn't go the 8 this time, but I did work from Colorado to Florida, Texas, Nebraska, New York, Delaware numerous times. So I was pretty pleased with the way everything worked, and I brought it back alive. And headlight failed going over a bad bump right here in Manassas. So, and I come home with one dead eye. So, anyway, but that's all I got. And so I thought it was an excellent contest. I had great fun. So this time I'll turn it back to Brad. This is KM4OZH. Back to net.
Okay, Gil. It's always fun listening to you talk about your adventures with this. You always have such a good time doing these mobile roving contests. It's downright inspirational. Congratulations on the bumped up score. I'm just getting ready to review the logging requirements here. I guess I should get my log in tonight. Yeah, I got, I don't know, 3,400 points or something like that. And talking to Gil earlier off on a different wireless frequency than we usually use here. Anyway, talking about how, you know, scores are always better every year, and, you know, I've definitely got my personal best this year because I've never been much of a contester anyway, so whatever score I got this year was a lot better than I got last year. We'll see how I do next year. So, something fun. Anyway, KN4SPL, Bob, how are you this evening? Go ahead.
N7IBV in the net from KN4SPL. I'm doing quite well tonight there, Brad. Hope everyone else is doing well. Don't have a lot to add to the topic of the Yagi, but good information out of it. And not a whole lot to report. Right now, just working working some FT8 on 10 meters. Just had a long skip to a KS1 PPY. So, so it was good contact. So, thanks, Hippy. Just looking forward to field day. So, yeah, looking forward to that. So, that's all I got tonight. So, throw it back to you, Brad. This is KN4, SPL, back to net.
All righty. Okay, and speaking of Sippy, I guess we'll talk to him. KS1 BBY and 7IVV, go ahead.
N7IVV in the net. Good to be on here. Thank you for doing the net tonight. Yeah, whenever I see familiar call signs come across my grid tracker, I feel like I'm almost obligated to push the button and go, oh, hey, I haven't contacted you on this band before. So it is good to make that contact. I enjoyed the UHF-VHF contest this weekend as well. Put a lot less hours into it than I thought I was going to. I was convinced I was going to, you know, just stay up all night and do 24, but I wound up sleeping the great majority of it, and it was a lot of fun to, I haven't broken it down by how many grid squares I worked or anything like that yet. I probably should do that. All I've done is bring it into QSO maps and sort of look at it in a map function with all these little pins, which has been entertaining. But I enjoyed working Gil as far out as I did. I managed to talk to him more on this one than any other contest that I've done in the past. I guess that makes up for not being able to hit him during the QSO party. But that was a load of fun. My final score, or my score submitted, was about 14,328, 195 contacts. The majority of them on FT8, and it was a great time. I started the question about whether or not they're checking your logs kind of made me wonder, because there was quite a few people who I believe I made a contact with, but I never got a 73 back from them. But everyone was in such a hurry; it was a lot of RR73. So I'm just trusting that they got worked. Looking forward to field day. Looking forward to the testing. And the discussion about the Yagis has been extremely informative. I have one of each type of Yagi up there on the roof, and now I kind of know why they're constructed the way that they are. At least I've been thinking about it. Appreciate the discussion. So KS1 PPY back to net.
Okay, Sippy, well, great score. KO4. You said you were in and out, didn't you? MBN, Mark. Did you? It's KO4 MBN. If you're here, still here. Go ahead, N7IBB.
I'm sorry, I'm setting up a test. Did you call KO4 MBN?
Yeah, I couldn't remember if you said you were in and out or had a comment tonight or not. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm up on top of the mountain, Turner Mountain. I'll be out here camping tonight. Just setting up a tent. I initially did say no traffic, no comment, but I was listening to everybody's comments about FT8. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I made contacts also because of the RR73. Anyhow, fun weekend, but that was the first contest I was ever involved in. So I don't know if my etiquette was correct or not. In any case, I made some contacts with several of the folks that have been on this net tonight. KO4MBN, back to you and Annette, and I'm going to go back to setting up my tent.
Oh, all right. Well, sounds like you're having a wonderful evening. It's a beautiful, beautiful evening. It's, temperature's dropping pretty quick. I got 68 degrees down here in Remington, and I'm sure it's at least 10 degrees cooler up where you are, assuming you're up in the mountain. Anyway, you just told me you were.
All right. Well, let's...
KX4KU, recheck.
KM4OZH, recheck.
4LL6. Okay, we got a train wreck here. Let's start over. W3-something, what was your call? Go ahead.
W3, Hotel Delta Bravo, Dan, Bethesda, Maryland.
Okay, Dan, I've got you, and Kevin, and... Oh, Gil, you had rechecks, and we had a couple other doubles, and anyway, so let's start from there, go ahead, and 7IBB.
KX4O.
KJ7APV.
KO4LLC. W3RDZ.
Okay. All right, so I got W3HDB. KX4O, KJ7APV, KO4LLC, and then the W3R, I've got Romeo Delta Charlie, but I don't think that's right. Would you give it to me phonetically, please?
Whiskey 3, Romeo Delta Zulu.
Okay, Daryl, well, that was my next choice. Do you go by Daryl?
I do not. I go by Richie.
You say Richie, R-I-C-H-I-E?
That is correct. I use my middle name. Currently mobile in Sperryville, Virginia.
Okay. I just wanted to get it in the record here so that I knew what to call you the next time you wanted to check in. All right. Well, very good. Since you're mobile, why don't you go ahead and give us a comment tonight at 7IBB.
Yep. I W3RDZ. I was listening on the repeater earlier today. Had a conversation with Andy. I can't remember his call right off the top of my head, and he told me about this net. I'm visiting my family here. This is where I grew up. I'm from Erie, PA, and I'm headed back in the morning. I made it to the net just a couple of minutes late. I think about six after is when I turned my radio on out in my vehicle here. I didn't hear the question about the Yagi, but I did enjoy hearing the answers. I actually have a very simple one. Laying in my back seat that I built out of PVC and a tape measure. I was thinking about hauling some equipment up to the top of Mary's Rock up on the mountain towards Luray tomorrow just to play up on the top of the mountain for a little while, but I don't think I'm going to make it there. And I didn't get to participate in the contest. In the process of switching jobs and coming to see my family in between, so unfortunately I didn't get to participate in that, but I am glad that I got to sit in and listen to the net today, so thanks for letting me join. W3RDZ, back to net control.
Okay, Richie, well, great, I appreciate you checking in, and yeah, we're all familiar with the ubiquitous tape measure Yagi. We try to do fox hunts every once in a while, and I guess we're now that the COVID problem is just dissipating, we're about due for another one, so we've got a lot of those tape measure Yagis running around the club here, and they're good things. All right, well, W3HDB, Daniel, go ahead, please.
Good evening, everyone on the net. Dan in Bethesda, Maryland. Yeah, participated in the VHF contest, made a really bad mistake. I forgot to record the times for day one, both stationary and rover. Ah, man, I'm kicking myself. I was hoping I could contact some of the people to confirm the time. I don't know if that's how it works or not, but so I missed out on 20-plus contacts. But then the next day I was using the logger program and was very careful to record the times. And I was operating single op FM and on 2.6, 1.25, 70 centimeters. There wasn't that much activity. I guess people are on FT8. I don't have that capability yet. So the January VHF contest was seemed to be a lot livelier, at least on FM. And so hopefully I will not make that mistake again. Oh, man. But I was able to finally, towards the end of the contest, hit W4IY. He's up at 4,300 feet. And forget the name of the mountain. It was in Virginia somewhere. I know that doesn't help, but anyway. Lessons learned, I guess. And I did hear KM4OZH Rover. He was on pretty much the whole contest. And I contacted him when I was up on Sugarloaf Mountain, Maryland, at about just shy of 1,000 feet. So, yeah, it was interesting. And so that's it from here, and I will be clear. 7-3, take care, everyone. And hope to work y'all in the next contest. W3 Hotel Delta Bravo, back to net control.
Okay, Dan. Well, yeah.
Hello, all. KX Pro. Just looking forward to field day, getting things set up. Thanks for the responses so far. We need a few more things for Station 3 to call it a wrap, I think. My computer being one of them. But anyway.
Well, John, it sounds like you've got microphone problems again. You only got about 3 sentences out, and then it just kind of died away. You kept the carrier up, but no audio. You want to try it again?
I only had a couple sentences, and now I'm going to unkey. We'll see what happens.
Well, sounds like it unkeyed. Well, okay. I guess we'll fight with that later. All right. Let's see. KJ7APV, Becca, what's up to tonight? Go ahead.
M7IVV, KJ7APV, good evening. Greetings, everybody on the net. My battery on my HT might be a little low, so I hope my signal's okay. Just briefly, I moved my solar panel system up off the wall where I had built some shelves, and now above in the rafters, it's actually quite accessible. I built an elevated sleeping platform. I use it as a table and other things as well, but my American. I did that before I knew it.
Okay, now I'm starting to think we've got a problem with the repeater because you were dropping in and out too. Stand by. Let me pick up Kevin. KX4KU. Go ahead, and then we'll come back to Becca.
M7IVV, KX4KU. Well, first off, two things. I think John's problem had to do with his AIX connection. Kind of went funky there. And then I think the gentleman who worked W4IY, I think they were up at five-pole knob in case of that. But wanted to say is maybe sometime before the next one, I think September, or maybe not, maybe it's like December, I would like to see how to make sense of working a VHF contest. It may sound simple. I tried to work it, and I couldn't find anybody anywhere. And I must be doing something wrong. I don't know how to look for stuff. I don't know where to go. You know, how we do for other contests, I kind of wouldn't mind doing one for VHF. Just an idea to plan out there. And so for IVV, KX4KU, back to net.
Okay. All right, well, yeah, you were in there solid. So obviously not the repeater. Didn't think it was. All right, I'm just paging through here wondering, I don't think we are an AWRL affiliated contest club, so I'll probably leave that one blank. No, we'll pick up KO4LLC now. George, go ahead.
Good evening, Brad, everyone on the net. Yeah, I was thinking about that Yagi question. It's very interesting. I never even thought about having everything tied together electrically like that. The only thing I've seen like that, or not technically a Yagi, was someone did like a loop for 2 meter. But in my quest of doing a Yagi, I actually made it out of some old brake line and some refrigerator coiled line, and it actually didn't, even though I used the predominant plans everyone used, it didn't tune up exactly the way I would expect it. So I actually had to make my reflector larger, and my director was actually smaller, and it pulled it all the way in to about 1.215, all the way across the mainly the repeater area. Other than that, been having a great day here. It's been lovely weather. KO4 LLC, back to the net.
Okay, George. Well, good to see
you. This is KM4ZH. Oh, man, I got so many things. All right, let me start here with the first thing. I forgot to thank everybody, the Fair Club, for all the VHF contacts. Like it was over 30 contacts from the Fair Club, so that's very good. And I thought I was going to go through this contest without hearing from K1HTV, but at the last hour, there he was, and we ran the band, so that was all good. And, yeah, Sippy was in there all the time. I went numerous places, and there was Sippy, so that was all good. And then we ran a couple of times with Brad running the band, so it was all good. And, yeah, and in the last 30 seconds of the contest, well, here comes, let's see, KO4CLR, Alexi, 30 seconds left, and he's, I don't know why he waited.
Okay, thanks, Gil.
KO4CLR.
Okay, Becca, let's see if we can pick you up again. KG7APV and 7IVV, go ahead.
It was probably my low battery that dropped me out, and 7IVV, KJ7APV. So I turned it into a drill, and I replaced my battery and got my Slim Jim antenna out in the yard, and now I'm all set. I think I have a stronger signal. So I was saying that I moved my solar panel system that I had built some shelves into the wall up high above in the loft, and it has better access for me and my little table place, which turns out to be a sleeping platform that I built and used to sleep on. It's way up high, like American Indians, I found out later. It was just from my American Indian heart that I did that, and then I read it in the textbook. So I'm having a good day, despite the fact that my house had an attempted burglary and several sheriffs came to visit me on Tuesday evening. So I appreciate talking to some of you on the repeater about that, feeling nice and calm, and we'll just keep a good watch. Back to you, N7IVV, KJ7APV, clear.
Okay, Becca, well, I'm glad everything was worked out for you, and I'm assuming everything turned out okay. KF4CLR, you get the last word in just like you did on Sunday night. Go ahead, Alexi.
KF4CLR, and then, yeah, I just wanted to say I was actually traveling all day, got back, and I knew I had just a few moments literally to turn it on, and so I just threw it out there, and sure enough, he picked up. But anyway, I just want to say I actually enjoyed that last moment of making a contact there on the contest. But other than that, I wish everyone well. Enjoy this weather, and KO4CLR back to that.
Okay, Alexi, very good. Yep, I was listening to that exchange, and I was squirming here, hoping you guys could pull that out before the contest ended. So, good deal. All right, folks, we're good. And if anybody has any questions or comments they'd like to make, you can send us an email at farahnet@w4ba.org. That's Foxtrot Alpha, Romeo Alpha, November Echo Tango, farahnet@w4ba.org. And this is N7IBV returning the repeater to normal usage. Have a good night and a pleasant tomorrow.
Node KX40 disconnected.